Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubas Daf Mem Ches, and we will begin on Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph on the sixth line. In the previous shiur, the end of the shiur, we were discussing the pasuk Sheira Ksusa Vainasa La Yigra, and that one is responsible to do Sheira Ksusa Vainasa for his wife. And the Gemara gave a number of interpretations of what that means. Says the Gemara, according to the interpretation that we learned, that She'era means having relations with one's wife, Tana Rav Yosef, She'era Zekira Basar. Rav Yosef will now describe how relations between a couple should take place. Shlo Yinik Ba Minik Prasayim. Shouldn't act like the Persians. She'mishamshim mitaseyim bilavosheyim. That when they have relations, they're dressed. Masayla Rav Huna, Dama Rav Huna, Ha'imri Efshi Ela Niva Big D, Vahuba Big Da. If a man says that I only agree to have relations with my wife dressed, the halach is Yoytziv Isang Suba, that's considered unacceptable status of marriage, and the halach is that he divorces his wife and she's entitled to a ksuba. And Ritva says that even if one says that he's requesting this for reason of tznius, it's still not the way that it's supposed to be done. It's supposed to be done undressed. The Magen Avraham does seem to indicate that if the request is being made because of reasons of tznius, it may be acceptable. Yet the Paiskim say that the halacha is that it should be done undressed. Of course, it should be done in a dark room and covered. We learned at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oyma Fila Onish Bisrael. The end of the Mishnah was describing what a husband is responsible to give his wife. And the Mishnah said that the poorest man in Klal Yisrael is responsible to give his wife, even when she dies, Rachman Tzlan, by the Levaya, Shtei Chalilim, two flutes, Umikainenis, and one woman wailing. Mechlal, if the Tanakhama is disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda, Bechlal the Tanakhama Sava, Hani Nami Loi, that even this isn't required. Ask the Gemara Hechi Domi, exactly what is the situation that our Mishnah is referring to? E the Urcha, if she comes from a family where the custom is to make these kind of funerals, My Tam the Tanakhama Dama Loi. Because as we're going to learn in a moment, the halacha is that when a couple gets married, the husband has to keep the wife at least at the same status, financially, etc., that she was accustomed to before they got married. She only goes up. She only goes up. That means if he comes from a more distinguished and they act more, they have more, he has to provide her with that. But he can't lessen what she's accustomed to. The example the Rashi gives, we'll learn the sugyas of Mitzvah Shem, is that let's say she comes from a family that typically nurses the babies, and he comes from a family where they hire a wet nurse. Apparently nursing, I never experienced this, is somewhat of a strain. So she could demand that, I don't want a nurse, you have to hire, since in your family everybody gets somebody to do it for them, you have to hire somebody on my behalf. So, if this woman comes from a family that this is the minig, my time the Tanakhama da maloi. Why does the Tanakhama says it, that she doesn't deserve it? Vi the loy urcha, if she doesn't have that minig, my time the Yehuda, says the Gemara, loy tzricha, kind of urcha the day, loy urcha the da. In his family, they typically do have these kind of funerals, but in her family, they don't necessarily have these kind of funerals. Tanakhama sova, when did Chazal say that she goes and he has to provide her with the same things he's accustomed to? As long as she's alive. Once she's no longer alive, that responsibility that her husband has to a wife terminates. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, afil achamisa, that responsibility that her husband has to a wife remains even after marriage. So Tosfos asks the obvious question. What the Mishnah according to Yehuda is teaching us is that the husband has to make sure that the wife is treated the way he and his family are accustomed to.
So why, when Rabbi Yehuda says his position in the Mishnah, does he say it's Shtei Chalilim or Mekananes Echas? That's not the point. The point is the Mishnah should have said that she should be given a funeral that's either what her family is accustomed to or what he's accustomed to, whichever is the more significant funeral. Why are we going into details? So the Shita quotes the Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina to answer that question, and he says like this. The Mishnah is referring to a situation where her family makes very simple funerals, none of these other things involved. His family makes elaborate funerals, but they really don't have a specific custom. What do they do by the levaya of a wife? So she's going to be treated like all the other women in that family, but they don't know exactly what the minig is. Teaches us the Mishnah that if the family has a minig, that they do make some sort of elaborate levaya, we should know that the minimum elaborate levaya is Shtei Chalilim and Mekananes Echas. And therefore we don't know what to do, this is the minimum that should be done. The Mefarshim discussed, the Ramam Mepanu discusses this in the Tshuvas, and the Rashba discusses this. From here we see that a husband is responsible to take care of his wife's funeral. And the funeral doesn't just require the funeral. It also includes that he has to make a mitzvah for her. And we quoted yesterday Tashbatz that says that if Chas V'Shalom, the grave falls into disrepair, it's also the responsibility of the husband to take care and repair the grave. However, I saw interesting that the Ramah Mepanu does say that what is not included in the responsibility for a husband to a wife is the responsibility to say Kaddish. The responsibility to say Kaddish is from children to parents, not from a husband to wife. And therefore, even if Chas V'Shalom, a woman dies without any children, and a husband, as we're learning now, is responsible to take care of all the funeral arrangements, he's not responsible, he's not mechuyev to say Kaddish. I'm not saying he shouldn't, but the chiyuv that we're learning in our Gemara doesn't exist. Ramosha, Mechas Yitzchak, discuss a very fundamental shaila. Our Gemara, we just learned, and we will, Mitzvah Shem, learn these sugyas again, later in our Masechta, teaches us, Oyli Moive Eni Yiredesima, that a wife only goes up when she gets married, not down. And if she was accustomed to a good life, he has to continue providing, and if he has a better life, he has to give her that. Says Ramosha, this is only referring to financial matters. Certainly, we're not talking about Menhagim. That means if a wife comes from a family that has one set of menhagim, customs as far as halachic issues, and his family has different customs, and even if she comes from a family that has stricter customs, the wife is responsible to follow the customs of the husband, both l'kula or l'chumra. They now become her customs. Although I did see an interesting shaila in the Mechas Yitzchak. He discusses this shaila. There was a couple that got married. She's from Chutz Laaretz. He's from Eretz Yisrael. And they're going to live in Eretz Yisrael. The wedding was in Chutz Laaretz, and it was right before Yontif. So they're only going to move to Eretz Yisrael after Yontif. So how many days Yontif does the wife have to hold? The husband certainly only holds one day. He's from Eretz Yisrael and he's going back to Eretz Yisrael. How many days Yontif does the wife hold? Because on one hand, we just learned that she follows his menhagim, and she does intend to move to Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, she isn't there yet. He says that she holds 2 days Yontif. Continues the Gemara. Amar Marukva, Haloch Rabbi Yehuda. The Halochim follows Rabbi Yehuda, that a husband has to make a funeral for his wife according to his status. Continues the Gemara. But one word of introduction to the next Gemara. This is actually going to be a concept and a sugya that we're going to be learning a lot about in tomorrow's shir and the day after. The halach is midoy rice. The halach is that one is responsible to support his children only until they're 6 years old. When they're above 6 years old, he's not halachically required to support his children. Of course, we will learn that he should, and we certainly try to coerce him to do it, but that's what the letter of the law is. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Marukva, Mishin Shtata, if Rechman Tzon, her husband, goes insane, Bezdin Yordan Unuchasav, Bezdin go to his assets, the Zornim of Finance and Sishtai, they take money out of his bank account to support him, Ubonav of Benaisav, Certainly the same thing is for his family and Dover Acher. And something else also they have to give. And we'll see what the Dover Acher is in a moment. So as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, certainly if the children are below 6 years old, we just said that a father is responsible to support the children. We continue, the Beis Din takes money from his assets to support the family, not just the wife. Certainly in a situation where the children are above 6 years old and the father was supporting them, so we see that this was his minig, that he is supporting children who are above six, and he then, Rechmon Olslan, becomes deranged. At that point, they continue supporting. Our Gemara is teaching us that even if we don't have something to follow, that means this is what Rabbi Kveig explains the Gemara. Let's say he became insane when they were less than 6 years old, and he was supporting them, but we don't know what he would have been doing when they became over six. And unfortunately, we can't ask them because he became a shaita. So the Gemara tells us, we continue and take money from his assets to support them. Ask the Gemara, Amle Ravina Ravashi, Maishna Mahadatanya, Mishalach Lamdina Siyam, if somebody leaves, Vishta Tavas Mazinus, and his wife, as we learned in the previous year, is entitled to support, and she says, he left me without any support. Says the Braisa, Bezdin Yardin Lenachasov, Bezdin to go to his assets, the Zonim and Fanasim Ishtai, they support his wife, Avloy Banana Banaisov, not the family. Veloy Davar Acher, and they don't give Davar Acher. Again, we'll see what Davar Acher is. So why is this different? Why is it different when the person travels overseas that the children don't receive support, whereas when he becomes deranged, the children do receive support? Amalei Veloy Shanalach, the difference is obvious. There's obviously a difference between Yoitz Ladas and Yoitz Shloy Ladas. In the case where he became insane, it's not something that's necessarily planned. It happens. So he can prepare. So we assume that a father would want to support his children. In a situation where he traveled overseas, he knew what he was doing. And he specifically did not leave a directive that his family should be supported. And therefore the halach is that we don't take money from him if he's not halachically necessarily obligated to support the family. And again, as I said, there's a machloikis ha-paiskim, how far to take this ruling. What will be the halacha? Certainly, in a situation where the children were above six when he left, and he wasn't supporting them, we don't start supporting when he leaves, and then say support them. Furthermore, if the children are below six, even though he didn't leave any directive, we take money from his assets, because he's halachically required to support them. The shaila is if he left when they were below six, and now they became above six. Do we say that the fact that he didn't leave any directive is an indication that he doesn't want to support them? Or we say that he wasn't thinking about it and therefore they deserve support? That's machlokes ha-paiskim. The paiskim, the rishonim, also say that even though in both cases that we mentioned, the wife deserves support, number one, the rishonim agreed that she doesn't deserve back pay. That means if she doesn't come to Bezdin as soon as it becomes deranged, or as soon as he leaves, she only comes a little while later and requests back support, we don't give her back pay. We only talk into the future, not into the past. There's also interesting machlokes rishonim. When we calculate how much the wife needs, because in both cases the wife gets supported, how do we make that calculation? Do we take in consideration that she could go to work and earn wages, and that part she should do, and only the rest that she needs we take from his assets, or do we not take that into consideration? It's machlokes Rambam and Tor. The Rambam says we don't take that into consideration. A husband has to support a wife, and that much money she deserves. And we don't look at her earning abilities. The Tor disagrees. He says her earning abilities are taken into consideration. So the Braisa, both the Braisa and Mar Ukva mentioned the Dover Acher. Ask the Gemara, what does the Gemara mean with Dover Acher? Rav Chisdom is a taksha. Dover Acher means her need to have perfume. Perfume. Rav Yosef Amar, stocka. It means that do we allow, when we give her an allowance, do we give her money that she should be able to give stocka? Mand Amar, tachshit, and there's two ways how Rashi explains this Gemara. We'll explain both ways. One is that the Gemara is going on the Braisa. That the Braisa says that if he goes overseas, we don't give Dover Acher. says the Gemara, man the Omer tachshit, that if the man the Omer that holds that if he went overseas, even though we have to support her, we don't give her perfume, even though as we learned, as we could understand, perfume is something that a wife really feels she needs. Koshkein tztaka. So we certainly don't give him money to give out tztaka. For as the Ritva says, he'll give tztaka wherever he is. However, mandam tztaka, according to the mandam that says it's tztaka that we don't give her, tztaka, he doesn't have to give her tztaka. He'll give his own tztaka. Avatachshit, but according to this interpretation, perfume will give her. Yavirinlaw. The loy nichle, the tenevel. He doesn't want that she should not have that perfume that she so desperately needs for her hygiene. The other way Rashi explains it is it's going on Marukfa. Marukfa says that if one's husband goes insane, we support the wife and give her davar acher. So according to the man that holds it tztaka, then we give it tztaka money, so we certainly give her money for perfume. According to the man that says it's perfume money we give her, but we don't give it tztaka money. So the Chasam Sofer asks a very fundamental shaila. According to some interpretation, according to the interpretation we just gave, we give her tztaka money. According to one man, the Amr, if the husband becomes a shaita, we give her tztaka money that she should be able to distribute tztaka money. So he asked, the halacha is as follows. Let's say I come to shul. This is a very relevant halacha l'maisa. I come to shul. I forgot my talis and tefillin at home. I don't have a talis and tefillin. So the halacha is that I'm allowed to, if somebody has his talis and tefillin in shul, the halacha is I'm allowed to take that person's talis and tefillin and put them on. Why? Because there's a rule, nichalei le'inish, the le'eved mitzvah memoinei. A person is satisfied that you could use his assets to do a mitzvah. So I don't mind, I davened already, I'm by work already, and somebody needs talis and tefillin, he could use my talis and tefillin. There's a number of provisions. It has to be that he has to be careful not to fold it the way I folded them, to put them back in the same place where they were from where we took them. The Pais can also say it's not something that he should do every day. You know, somebody shouldn't have talis and tefillin, but he knows I daven the first minion. He davens at 9 o'clock. Every day he'll come put on my talis and tefillin. The Pais can also say that regarding Svarim, this halacha doesn't apply. You can't just take my sefer without permission. Why? Because when one learns from a sefer, it's very possible that he'll tear the sefer. I agree that you could use my items for a mitzvah, but only if it won't cost me anything. But if you're going to use my sefer, it's possible you're going to rip it, so you need permission. But certainly everybody agrees that if it's going to be at my loss, there is no concept of nichalei delinish to leva mitzvah memayne. So if so, ask the Chasam Sofer, how could somebody suggest that if the husband became deranged and we're taking money from his assets to support the wife, we also give it tztaka money. I have no right to take somebody else's money to use it for a mitzvah without his permission. So says the Chasam Sofer, a very bechiddush, tztaka is different from all other mitzvahs. Since regarding tztaka, we know tztaka tatzil mimavis, how crucial tztaka, giving tztaka is. Here the husband, Rachman Slan, is not able to give tztaka. He's insane. So that the tztaka should be given from his assets is so important that we override the normal halacha of Nichlei Le'inish, the Levin Mitzvah M'mayne. Amar Rav Chibar Oven Amar Rav Hono. Misha Halach L'mdina Suyam. If somebody went overseas, Umeisa Ishtoi, and then his wife, Rachman Slan, is Nifter, Bezdin Yardim L'mchasov, Bezdin again go to his assets. The Kovnei Solafi Kfoidai. We bury her according to his status. Ask the Gemara again, Lefi Kfoidai, Lefi Kfoidai. Again, as Rashi explains, as we started today's shir, everybody agrees that certainly what she and her family are accustomed to, we have to continue. So how can we suggest that if her minig is more than his, we shouldn't give it? Amos, at the Gemara, what the Brice means to say is, Aflufi Kfaidai. Certainly we have to follow what she's accustomed to, she and her family. But what we're saying is that if he has a minig that does more, we follow what he's used to. Because Hok Mashmon, what is the Brice teaching us? Oli Imai, she goes up to his status, then he read this much, she doesn't come down, and that halacha applies, Afila Achamisa. Says the Gemara further. Amar Rav Masna. Ha'omer emesa. If somebody leaves instructions, he says that if I die, the husband says, I die before my wife, loy tikberum inachasav. I don't want my assets to be used, I don't want money from my estate to be used for her burial. The halach is, shayman loy. Because the halach is, she's going to get the ksuba. And in the ksuba payment, there's enough to take care of her burial. Says the Gemara, that's obvious. Ma'ishna ki ama de naflika nechse kamiyasmi. Ki loy ama nechse nami kamiyasmi ramo. He says, why does he have to say it? Even if he doesn't say it, she's not entitled. Because when he dies, all of his assets are transferred to his yorshim. He maybe has the responsibility at a certain point to bury his wife. His yorshim certainly don't have that responsibility. So even if he didn't leave the instruction, it's obvious that they're not responsible to bury her. Ella says, what the Gemara means to say here is like this. Ha'im nes, who... Somebody leaves instructions that when I die, like tikbarum in the chasav, I don't want my assets to be used for my burial. Ain't shemen loy. Then the halachas, we don't listen to what he says. Because loy kol himinu, shiyasher is bonof, v'yipal atzmel atzibur. It's totally unfair. He's going to leave a nice inheritance for his children, and it becomes the community's responsibility to bury him. That's totally unfair, and therefore the halach is that we don't pay attention to what he says, and we use his money to take care of the kvura and dolvaya. So I saw a number of very interesting shailas. One of the ways of constructing a halachic will is to write that everything that the person owns a moment before he dies should become the yarshim's. Then you could avoid certain halacha yerusha problems. Or even if it's not that way, let's say somebody, this happens, goes and gives over everything he owns to his children. So when he dies, he actually dies destitute. He has nothing. So the shaila is, are the children responsible to take the money that he left over to them, but gave to them not as Yerusha, they gave to him while he was still alive, and use that money for his Levaya? Or is that a case where he died without money? So the Paiskim say that when one gives all of his assets to his children before he died, what was implicit in that was that certainly whatever is needed to take care of his levaya should be taken care of out of that money. Although then I saw another interesting shaila. The Chach Mishloim discusses the shaila. Let's say somebody doesn't give any money to his children. It happens. He gives his money away, but he gives it away to someone else. And now he dies. Who is responsible to take care of the levaya? His family, because they're his children, or the people that got all of his money? So the Chach Mishloim says it's the people that got all the money that should take care of the levaya. But now, there's a different shaila, a very interesting machlokes. What happens if Taka Rachmana Litzlan, somebody dies without any money? Rachmana Litzlan, he dies without any money, but he has children. Do the children need to take out money from their pocket to pay for the burial of their father? The Shach says, we discussed this just in the previous year, Hilchas Kibbut Avaim do not require one to take a financial loss. And therefore, according to the Shach, one doesn't have to use his own money to bury his parent. I'm not saying it should be done. Kibbut Avaim says that that's the right thing to do. But halachically, according to the Shach, it's not required. The Maram Mintz disagrees with the Shach. The Maram Mintz says that, of course, it's the responsibility of children to bury and take care of the funeral of their parent. And if the parent died, Rachman Tzlan, without any money, it becomes their responsibility to use their own resources for it. The only thing he does say is that, let's say they're going to be using their own resources to make a levaya. And they knew that their father was an Adam Choshev and deserved a very significant levaya, deserved to be buried in a very Choshev place, a burial place that could cost more money. And if he left instructions before he passed away, I don't want this. I don't want a fancy levaya, and I don't want you to spend a lot of money on my burial spot. They can listen to him, and they don't have to give him a significant levaya. Continues the Mishnah. Loy lemi b'rishus ha'av, we now continue discussing a girl. She's considered under the father's jurisdiction. Ach tikanes l'rishus habal l'nesuin. Until she becomes a nesua. For as we have been learning, once a girl becomes a nesua, she's out of the rishus of the jurisdiction of the father. teaches us the Mishnah. Masar av l'shluchei abal. Once the father gives her over to the shluchim, to the messengers of the husband doesn't come pick her up. He sends shlichim to pick her up. And that flaw points out, what does it say, shluchei habal? That means there are two messengers. So Mepharshim says two reasons. One is there's a problem of yichud. If she's traveling on the road with the shluchim, if it'll be one man and one woman, we could have a problem of yichud. Another reason the Mepharshim give is because these shluchim also act as edim to this mesira. And we know ain davar she'be'er pachas mishnayim, so you need two edim. So Masr avul shluchei abal, harei rishus abal, she's under the husband's jurisdiction. However, halacha avim shluchei abal, or shalcha shluchei avim shluchei abal, they didn't just give her over. They actually traveled with him. So then the halacha is, harei b'shus av. She remains in the father's rishus. Masre av shluchei av l'shluchei abal, but at the point that the shluchei av give her over to the shluchei abal, harei b'shus abal. Before we begin learning the Gemara, we actually need to review something that we discussed on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. And it's really a Mishnah that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Nun Zayin. As we just discussed yesterday, Jewish marriage has two stages, Erusin and Nisuin. We nowadays do Erusin and Nisuin at the same time. But as we learn in Mitzvah Shem, they typically had quite an interval between the Erusin and Nisuin. Typically, a Besula even had an interval of 12 months between the Erusin and Nisuin. We also know the midaraisa, a girl, as soon as she becomes an arusa, she's an eishes ish. And therefore, if she's a bas yisrael who becomes an arusa to a kohen, midaraisa, she should be allowed to eat truma at that point. Chazal taught us that she doesn't eat truma until there's nisuin. And there are two reasons. One reason is mishum simpan. Maybe they'll have nisuin, and he'll find that there's a defect with her rachman al tzlan. And I'll say it's a mekach tos. This whole thing was incorrect. So she was never his wife. So she never had a right to eat truma. Another reason that we'll learn in the Gemara is because shem etashke lachel lachasel. Until, while she's in Arusa, she's still living in her parents' home. Her siblings are Yisraelim. They're not allowed to eat truma. So if she's getting from her husband truma portions, we have a real concern she's going to share it with her siblings who are Yisraelim and are not allowed to eat it. That's why Chazal said that a girl while she's in Arusa should not eat truma. But as we learned on that days, there's a shaila, what's the halacha if the 12 months come and he didn't marry her? The date comes and didn't marry her. So we're going to learn, and this is what's known as the Mishnah Rishayna, even though it's later, it's on Daf Nun Zayin, says that at that point, she's entitled to eat. She is entitled to get truma. As we learned on that base, just for the sake of chazara, the question that we learned on that base was, what's going to be the halacha that the date came and he didn't marry her, but it wasn't because he deliberately chose to ignore the date. There was a oinus. There was something beyond his control. We learned that. So the Maram Shif does say here, interesting, he says, what happens if the date comes and he deliberately did not marry her, so that date came, and then afterwards the oinus develops. So the Merim Shif says, since it was at that point deliberate, even though afterwards something that was beyond control prevented him from getting married, once the date came and it was deliberate, she is, according to the Mishnah Rishayna, entitled to eat truma. However, the Mishnah Achrayna says that no, and we'll discuss this more soon, she doesn't eat truma even if something beyond his control came up, and she doesn't get to eat truma until the date of the actual nisuin. So now the Gemara focuses on the first word of the Mishnah. The first word of the Mishnah is l'oilam. So the Gemara's question is, what does the Mishnah mean by using this word l'oilam? My l'oilam, what does the Mishnah mean with the word l'oilam? Says the Gemara, Lefukim and Mishnah Rishayna. Our Mishnah wants to show that we don't follow the opinion of Mishnah Rishayna. The Tanan, as we just quoted, the Mishnah Rishayna holds, Higiyah Zman V'loy Nisu, that if the time for the Nisun comes and they don't have Nisun, Taloch is a Chels Mishaloy, the Chels Betruma, that she does start to eat Truma, Kamash Mahu Oilam. That's why our Mishnah says that no, until she's actually in Roshus Ho'av, and Roshus Habal, she doesn't get to eat Truma. So we learned in the Mishnah, Masa av l'shluchei abal, harei b'shus abal. Amar Rav, Mesiros l'kol, she is considered a full-fledged wife, chutz mitruma. except for her right to truma. And as Rashi explains, and we're going to follow Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, Rashi explained because Rav holds the why do we hold that she's not entitled to truma, even though the time of Nesu'in came, because Rav holds the chashash is simpan, that he may find out that she's a balas mum, and if she's a balas mum, the whole marriage was never a marriage. And that's why Rav says that until there's actual Nesu'in, we don't let her eat truma. Rav Asi om afla truma. Rav Asi says that once she's given over to the Shluchei HaBaal, she does eat truma. Why does Rashi hold that way? Very easy, Rashi explains. According to Rav Asi, the concern is, Shematashka lachel lachosel. But once she's given over to the Shluchei HaBaal, she's already not with her siblings. So the concern that we mentioned, that she may give this truma food to her siblings, who are Yisraelim, and may not eat truma, no longer exists. So that's the machloikus of Rav and Rav Asi. Eisir Rav Hunan Rav Asi, Ram Lechi Bar Rav Rav Asi, Loilim Hi Brishus Av. She's always still in the father's Rishus, Achet Konis L'Chuppah. So we see that she is still considering the father's Rishus until the actual Chuppah. Amalu Rav, so Rav responded to them, Lava Min L'Chu, didn't I tell you, L'Tayzel Basel Ipcha. Don't always ask questions that go reverse from the Svara, reverse from logic. Because I will explain the misirasa zuik nesosul chuppah. Giving her over to Rabbi Shluchim is equivalent halachically to her having a chuppah. And just like what she has a chuppah, we all agree that she gets the truma. I hold that when the Shluchei Baal assume responsibility, it's like she had a chuppah and she's allowed to eat truma. I saw a very interesting shaila. According to both of these versions, as soon as she's given over to the husband, they're considered husband and wife, or if we'll follow what the Mishnah Rishonah and Daphne Zayin discusses, if the date comes, he's responsible to support her. The only discussion we're having is does she get to eat truma, but he's certainly responsible to support her. So Mepharshim asked, yesterday we learned in the Gemara that every husband and wife have some sort of a quid pro quo. He has to support her, but she has to turn over her wages to him. What will be the halacha in a situation where the time of the Nesu'in comes, and he didn't marry her deliberately? So the halacha is he has to start supporting her. Does she have to start turning over the wages? Do we say, if he's supporting her, he gets the wages? Or do we say that not? What does the shaila depend on? The shaila depends on how do we view this date. Some mefarshim seem to say that we view this date as really some sort of a status change. Since it's the date that they were supposed to get married, the halacha regarding at least certain issues consider them married. If that's the way we look at that date, so then if he has to support her, she has to give him her salary. The other mefarshim seem to explain that this is not because they're considered married. They're not married. Nothing happened. It's a knas. They were fining him. They were punishing him. The date of the marriage came, and you haven't gotten married. So we're punishing you that you have to start supporting her. But that punishment will be less of a punishment if she's going to have to give over her wages, and then she wouldn't have to give over her wages. Says the Gemara, the Shmuel holds different. Lirushasa. Shmuel holds, as we'll see, what Yerusha means is that just because the father gave over her to the Shluchei HaBaal, nothing changed. The only thing that changed is, that we discussed also in the previous year, typically the father wrote into the Ksuba Nadin, he wrote a dowry into the Ksuba. If she should, Rachmanu Litzlan, terrible story, die between the Mesira to the Shluchim and the Chuppah, if she should die during that time, that money will go to the husband. Rish Lakish Amal Ksubasa. Rish Lakish says it's regarding the Ksuba. Ask the Gemara, Ksubasa Mahi. What does Rish Lakish mean with the word Ksuba? Dimesa, it means, we would say, that if she dies at that time, Yaroslo, he becomes her Yairish, he gets the Nadin. Ask the Gemara, Hain the Shmuel. But that's the exact same thing that Shmuel said. So what's Rish Lakish saying different than Shmuel? Ravina. So Ravina says what Rish Lakish means is, Le'ema Ksubasa Ma'achamana. Very Bechidish. We know that the Ksuba of a Besula is Masayim. We know that the Ksuba of a Be'ula is a Mana. What will be the halacha, says Rish Lakish, if a girl was given already over to the Shluchei HaBaal, but then the husband died or the marriage terminated before the chuppah. So technically, she's still a psula. She never had relations with this man. But on the other hand, she's post the time that was mesira l'shluchei habal. How do we look at this girl? Do we consider her like a psula? And now when she'll, mitzvah get remarried, she'll get a ksub of a mesayim, because she is a psula. Or, is she, since she came so far along with a relationship with a man, that girl will only get a mana of a ksuba. Says the Gemara, this is the way the Rashi explains the Gemara, the Reish Lakish is saying that since she came so far along with having a relationship with a man, she's no longer going to be considered a girl that will get a ksuba of a mesayim, and she will only get a ksuba of a mana. There's machlokes rishonim. Now that we redefined what Reish Lakish means, what will Reish Lakish hold regarding what Shmuel holds? Does he agree with Shmuel that the husband Yarshin Suksuba, or he does disagree with Shmuel? How does Reish Lakish react to Shmuel Shaila? Machlokes Rishonim, how Reish Lakish will learn. Reb Chanina, Reb Yochanan Reb Chanina, Dami Tavayu, Mesiras Lakol, that once the father gives over the kala to the husband or to a shluchim, she's considered full-fledged wife, after truma, and she's even allowed to eat truma. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa teaches us, halacha avim shluchei habal, if the father went along with the shluchei habal, or shalcha shluchei avim shluchei habal, the father's shluchim accompanied the shluchei habal, or shalcha tz b'derech, if she owns a home on the way that they're traveling, v'nichnasa imoy lolun, and the husband and wife went into that apartment on the way from the father's home till the chuppah, the halach is api shiksubas v'beis bala, even though the ksuba is in the home of the husband, mesa, if she still dies at that point, avia yasha, the father yasha, because it's not considered that she is bechlal in the jurisdiction of the husband. On the other hand, masur av l'shlucha bal, if the father gave her over to the bal, or she masur shluchei av l'shluchei bal, or the shluchei av gave her over to the shluchei bal, or she hoisa loy, he owns an apartment, b'derech, v'nichnasa imo l'sham nesuin, and they enter that apartment, even though the father hasn't physically transferred the assets to him, if mesa, if she rachman slan dies at that point, bal yarsha. Medvar memurim, regarding what is this discussion, liyurushasa, that once she's given over to the shluchim, he yarshinsar. Avla truma, regarding her ability to eat truma, the halach is, ein isha chelis b'truma, a wife is not entitled to eat truma, until this actual chuppah. So the Gemara, tiyufta, tekula, tiyufta. Here the Brice is clearly indicating that as far as Yerusha is concerned, if Masru Avla Shluchei Abal, he does Yarshan Har, but she doesn't eat Truma. So as Taisus and Rashi explained the Gemara, this exactly is the same as what Shmuel said. And the Gemara's question is, this is in contradiction to what Rav said, to what Rav Asi said, to what Rav Yochanan said. It only corroborates what Shmuel said, that this Bryce is corroborating Shmuel. But Taisus makes a very interesting observation. He says, the Gemara says, to Yufta, the Kula, to Yufta. What does that mean? That everybody's been refuted. But the way we just explained the Gemara, Shmuel has not been refuted. Everyone else has, but not Shmuel. So Taisus says, a klal, that if there are a number of Manda Omrim quoted in a Gemara, and then the Gemara says to Yufta, it doesn't necessarily have to be that everybody that was quoted is refuted. If some of them are refuted, and some of them are not refuted, like in our Gemara, everybody besides Shmuel is refuted, the word to Yufta is still appropriate to be used. However, now that we're discussing this Braisa, the Braisa is a little difficult to understand, asked the Gemara. Hagufa kasha. Amrit nichnasa imal lonun. That if she went into the apartment, the halacha is that they're not married. Tamas b'ndavon, hastama, because they went only into the house to be in the house together. Hastama, under normal circumstances, we assume, l'shem nesu'in. But aim is safer, let's learn the same braisa. Nichnasi imoy l'shem nesu'in. If they went in l'shem nesu'in, they're married. Hastama lolan. So what is the regular situation? Is it considered l'shem nesu'in or not? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Ashi, stama stama k'tani. We have to view each case of the Mishnah, of the Braisa, and we sort of prepared ourselves for this way. And this is the way the Ramban explains the Gemara. A husband wants to marry his wife in his apartment. he looks at it disgraceful that he's going to take a wife as a wife in her house. So the Reish is referring to a case that it's her house. No husband wants to conduct nisuin in her apartment. Stam chotz didah, if they go to her apartment, he's not intending to make marriage. And lolan, they're only going there, they're on the way to the chasna. Stam chotz didah, but what about an apartment that owns him? There we say that since it's his apartment and he takes her into his home, his intention is certainly l'nesuin, and even though he didn't say that he's making a chuppah, we will consider them nosui. Says the Ramban, what will be a halacha if they enter an apartment, they enter a home that they both own? Says the Ramban, since he has ownership in that house, and the Ramban's explanation is that if he has ownership in the house, that's a place that he's comfortable to make her his wife, and it will be considered married. So the Paiskim say, interesting, that this is the basis for a minig that many caterers have. Many caterers, when the chassan and kala get married, they do a kinyan on the yichud room to the chassan, because they're following our Gemara. Because our Gemara says that nesuin is accomplished in his chatzar, in his apartment. But I don't own the catering hall. So they do a symbolic kinyan on the yichud room, that it should become his, and therefore it should become a valid nesuin. However, I saw the Paiskim, Ramosha Sternbruch actually discusses it. He says there's no reason to do it. He says, our Gemara is referring to a situation where it's not obvious what his intention is. So we don't know what his intention is. We start looking. If it's his house, his room, then we assume that he took her into his room to accomplish a nesuin. If it's hers, then we don't assume that. But where it's obvious and it's being said that's l'shem nesuin, then we don't need that it should be his. The doing the nesuin is all that's required, that he and she should be considered fully married.